Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Good morning. It is time to get up and get out for the coach of the Lakers. Is there only one place LeBron can turn to next? We'll start there. Meanwhile, why is Brady's BFF suggesting he deserves the ultimate punishment for his offseason of discontent? We're diving deep. And we will tell you why the biggest question in Green Bay is the one that no one seems to want to ask. All that and much more as we get up with you starting right now on this Monday. And take a look at this. Graziano's got a tie, but that's not the news. Legler's here. The NBA season has ended. That's not the news. Cam Jordan is here for the very first time in our studio. Oh, pleasure to have you. You're looking good.
I mean, you know, I thought I had to dress up. I knew I was going to be around suits.
Well, take a look at this. Graziano. It's a tie.
We have a guest.
It's a very special day.
Gucci tie.
And you know who couldn't let this opportunity pass? Marcus Spears, the big swag, who was along for the ride as well. He loves basketball, and that's where it begins. Legler Frank Vogel has coached his final game as the coach of the Lakers. This, of course, comes as no major surprise. It's a decision that is expected to be shared with him as soon as today. Although, after last night's season finale, Vogel said he hasn't been told anything about his future with the team.
My reaction is I haven't been told shit, and I'm going to enjoy tonight's game, celebrate what these young guys did in terms of scratching the claw and getting back in this game, getting a W, and we'll deal with tomorrow.
Okay, and so tomorrow is now today, and the season has come to a merciful end, one might say, for the Lakers. And, look, I said on Countdown the other day, when they fire him, they'll be doing him a favor. Is this a job that coaches with options are going to want?
You know, I should just walk off the set. I told you last week.
I know.
You invite me into your home.
Yes.
This is your home, and you insulted me last week, and then you do it again, even though I warned you.
You told me not to ask you about the Lakers, but I didn't know they were going to fire the coach the day that you were coming in here.
Listen, I look at it like this. Do you really believe this could be anything other than a relief to Frank Vogel?
Right.
I mean, honestly, Frank Vogel is going to get another coach job, and he should. I just don't think he deserves the blame for this debacle. I think it's roster construction, and it's health, and it's also a situation where when you make up a roster like this, there is absolutely no pressure whatsoever to perform well in the regular season. You've already put it in the thoughts of everybody. Hey, we're built for the playoffs with all these veteran guys. The problem is you cannot approach the regular season that way and think you can flick that switch. Not against teams as good as Phoenix, as good as Memphis, as good as potentially Golden State is going to be when they get Steph Curry back. You just can't do it. You're not coming out of that hole and digging your way through the Western Conference. So every bit of it gave him virtually no chance to succeed this season. He won a championship there. He will move on. I think he is going to sleep well. That's why he was so lighthearted about the question.
Yeah.
I do believe Frank Vogel's going to get a job. He might sit out a year, a couple of years, maybe 1 year, and then take a job with a 500-type team and get them to max out. Because I think this guy can really coach, and it was unfair how much of this is laid at
his feet. Particularly defense. I mean, he had them as the best defensive team in the sport, and then they got rid of all of his players who could play defense. So I agree with you. Super quickly on them, and then I want to move to other things.
Okay.
They're not a coach away, right? This is not a team that is a coach away from contention.
Well, there's nothing you can do with the top guys. You're not going to trade Russell Westbrook. He's going to opt into $47 million. LeBron James doesn't want to go anywhere
else. Trading Davis? Can you trade Anthony Davis?
You can try, but I mean, you're going to end up getting a guy if you're a star player. What are you going to give up for a guy that's probably going to play 50 games, if that, and then not be available potentially in the playoffs if you get that far? So I don't know what you're going to get back in return to pair up with LeBron James or Russell Westbrook that's going to fit. And that pairing, by the way, doesn't work that
right.
Well either with those two guys on the floor together. So you start with player number 4 through 15.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to look completely different. The top's going to look the same. And I think the health issues are going to be the same with aging stars.
Okay, so we'll make that the last time I ask you about the Lakers.
All right.
For this hour. In the meantime, let's get to Ben Simmons, because this was a critical report we got from Woj yesterday. The pain-free progress of his back is fueling hope that he could debut sometime in the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. Now, bear in mind, the Nets are in the play-in tournament, so they're not quite in the playoffs yet. He will not play for them tomorrow night. But If they do get through there and they get into the first round, Woj is telling us that it might be like a 10 to 15 minutes a game to start, but it could start working his way in. I will ask you very directly, if they get some contribution from Ben Simmons, what are the Nets capable of in the next 2 months?
Yeah, 15 to 20 minutes a night out of Ben Simmons, to me, makes them a much more viable threat to win the Eastern Conference. I don't think they're going to because they're so bad defensively, but if you're talking about 18, 20 minutes with Ben Simmons, who can guard five players on the court, he also, by the way, offensively, he won't be much of a factor as a scorer, but he creates pace, and he spoon-feeds shots to the role players. I mean, that's what Ben Simmons does very well, so that KD and Kyrie, when they're on the court with him, can just go score and attack. Let Ben Simmons set the table for the rest of those role players. You know, get the Seth Currys and the Andre Drummonds and the Nick Claxtons of the world shots. That's what he could do. So, Greeny, this is a big development.
Yeah.
I also wonder if maybe Ben Simmons' back feels a little bit better knowing that now they're on the opposite bracket of Philadelphia. They wouldn't see the Sixers until you got to the conference finals. If both teams were able to pull up a couple of upsets,
right,
you'd end up in the conference finals with those two teams. So maybe that made Ben Simmons' back feel a little bit
perhaps
better. He won't see him early.
I had the same thought, although I will say that when they went there in early March and without him, with him sitting on the bench and getting booed, and they blew the doors
smoked
off
them.
The Sixers
right
have bigger problems right now than Ben Simmons. We'll get to them as we go.
Oh, yeah, no question.
But let me then turn the question that I asked you around. Do the Nets need him to make a legitimate run in this postseason, which is to say, if they don't get anything from him, can they even win a series?
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, they got two flamethrowers, so you're not going to sit there and tell me they have no chance. But look, when I watch a team play all year that literally cannot string together three or four stops at any point in the game, that's a very difficult path to think you're going to navigate your way through Boston, through eventually, you know, the Miami Heat, the Milwaukee Bucks, mm-hmm, when you can't stop anyone just because you've got two great offensive players. I don't think so, because you look at teams like Miami and Milwaukee, they can also score, but then they can go guard you for 6 minutes at an important time in the game and win a game that way. Brooklyn cannot. If you add 18 to 20 minutes of Ben Simmons a night, at least it gets them closer to that, where now you go, hey, keep me in a one-possession game, and you've got Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, then you've got a shot every single night to win.
It's worth pointing out, and we will go through some of the matchups that we know of a little bit later in this hour. The Nets could wind up the 7 or the 8. There is still a route
that's
in
true
which they wind up
true
the 8.
Good point. I'm assuming they were going to win the play-in
game. That they
game
win their first
and
game
and be 7, and that's
Cleveland.
Why I made the comment about Philly. But
No, I hear you.
Yes.
I understand that. I think all of us have that in mind, that the winner of the 7, the 8 game, they could lose that game, wind up winning
correct
on Friday night. And so they could go on either side of the bracket. We'll see. Right, we'll talk much more as this hour continues. In the meantime, back to football, because it only took 40 days, as you know, for Tom Brady to return from retirement. He will face off against our new buddy Cam Jordan and the Saints two more times, and of course, everybody else along the way. Meanwhile, Brady's longtime teammate Rob Gronkowski had some thoughts on Brady's retirement. It was ahead of this year's Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards, which Gronk co-hosted. They asked him which player he'd like to slime, and he said, "I'll have to go with Tom right now." All because he retired and then the debacle of coming right back and unretiring 40 days later. I think he deserves to get slimed for that retirement that he had. Cam Jordan, does Tom Brady deserve to be slimed for the 40 days of discontent?
Why not? I mean, go for it. I mean, you know, it's not going to make me feel anything but happy. He's part of a divisional rival right now.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say rival. Divisional opponent.
Fair enough. You don't consider them a rival?
No, I mean... We all know it's a New Orleans versus Atlanta. It's
yeah
a New Orleans versus the world. So we've seen everybody as a rival. But, no, in terms of Tampa Bay, never.
Fair enough. Marcus, does Tom Brady deserve to be slimed for all the things that the 40 days he put us through thinking we had to learn to live with a football world without him?
Yes, he does, G. It's the only good thing that hasn't happened to him in football yet. And listen, I'm looking forward to seeing it happen. I'm looking forward to seeing Tom Brady get slammed. But I'm going to tell y'all something right now before we get this show popping off for the rest of the day. There is nobody in America happier than the guy sitting next to you, Groz, and you, G, that Tom Brady came back. Because every time he play Tom Brady, he make about $1 million. Because it's going to be a sack fumble somewhere in that game twice a year.
Fair enough. So, Groz, let's dive into this with Cam, because I was trying to get to the root of this before we came on, because you used the expression in our pre-show meeting today that Brady plays chess. It's a commonly known expression. Okay. How would you describe what it's like playing it? We always hear about how he's manipulating with his mind, all that kind of stuff. You face him twice a year. A couple of years ago, it was three times a year in that division. How would you describe what makes him so unique?
I mean, everybody knows you hit Tom Brady, he speeds the ball up. You hit Tom Brady, he starts checkdowns. Tom Brady doesn't like to be hit. And it's you know, for being in the league for 22 years, everybody gets that. But he doesn't play just for the next down or the next series. He'll play next game. If you got a great game plan together, he'll go in at halftime to make adjustments. If he doesn't like that adjustment, they'll just win the next game. Like, they're not too stressed about it. I mean, we beat him twice in, you know, twice the first year we played him, lost in the playoffs, beat him twice again this past year. He's not really worried about it. He doesn't get too flustered. He gets angry maybe at his offensive line real quick that he wants to be more protected. And everybody knows if you hit Tom Brady, coaching staff is in trouble. Somebody's in trouble, but Tom Brady's just too elite of a quarterback to say, hey, like, I'm worried about this play, next play, whatever. And honestly, Swaggoo, if Tom Brady decided to retire and, you know, wasn't the announcement wasn't forced, I think that he would have stayed retired, and then I wouldn't have to deal with him. I'd rather a young quarterback than Tom Brady.
Why have you had so much success against him? You have. I mean, Swaggoo pointed it out, and it's right. You've beaten him. The playoff game that your team lost, you threw all those interceptions. Your defense has really outplayed their offense every time you've been on the field against them, despite how good they've generally been. Why have you been so successful against him?
Man, I think that when you think about our defense, right? You know, you talk about Marshawn Lattimore. You talk about, you know, Marcus Williams at the time. You talk about Demario Davis, myself. You know, you've got just a phenomenal defense that stacked up well against guys like Mike Evans. I think, you know, Marshawn Lattimore loves that matchup. I think that, you know, when it comes to what we're able to do with a guy like Leonard Fournette, we love that hard-nosed football. Mm. So we're able to match them pound for pound, weight for weight, power for power on the defensive side. And if you can neutralize them on offense, you see what happens in games.
Saints a sneaky, interesting team this year. How about Brady getting slimed, Graziano?
Oh, well, of course he deserves it. And he would probably agree. I mean, the vacillating between retire and not retire, I mean, that's some Brett Favre stuff. And I'm sure that Tom Brady never wanted to be that guy. And here we are. So, yes, I think he does deserve it. I agree with Gronk. I think Gronk's on the money there. And maybe it'll happen. Maybe they'll stage it and it'll be like some TB12 production and he'll make some money off of it.
It feels to me like a mortal lock. We're just getting rolling today. Swaggoo's going to get heated up as we go. And on the way, it was nearly 2 years ago the Packers drafted Aaron Rodgers' replacement. The team still isn't quite certain whether or not that was a mistake. What is next for Jordan Love? We'll dive into that. Plus, Joel Embiid and James Harden know who they will face in the playoffs. We'll tell you why they are already at a distinct disadvantage before the first play has even begun. All that and more as we roll on. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Get Up is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need. All right, we roll along. The quarterback picture in Green Bay has taken various turns over the last 2 years and wound up in exactly the same place. Now, you remember this, 2020. The Packers traded up and they took Jordan Love out of Utah State in the first round. That seemed to put in place the beginning of the departure of Aaron Rodgers, but he had other ideas. He's won back-to-back MVPs since then. He's thrown an NFL best 85 touchdowns in that span and led the league in QBR. Then after hinting he wanted to leave, you know this, Rodgers signed a new contract this offseason. So where does this leave Jordan Love? Packers president Mark Murphy was asked about that. Here's what he said over the weekend.
Aaron, he's still playing at a high level, and he's said he wants to keep playing, but I think it's probably a year-by-year thing to him. And we think he can be a good player, but we haven't really seen enough. So I think this preseason will be good for him, and he's a talented player.
So that's a fascinating little scenario. What do you know? Our friend Graziano here, who's very well connected with the people in Green Bay, what is your sense of how they feel about Jordan Love? It's not an insult to a person to say, well, we'd rather have Aaron Rodgers.
Of course not.
What do they think of him?
Well, they don't know yet what to think of him because they really haven't seen enough, right? He's played in one game. His first year coming out, there were no preseason games. And then when Aaron Rodgers showed back up, he took all the first team reps. So there hasn't been any real evaluation period for Jordan Love like they thought there might have been by this point. Remember, they traded up to take him. Aaron Rodgers was coming off of, down years for him, right? Mm-hmm. His two worst QBR seasons back-to-back. So they thought maybe he was at the end. They were wrong. And so Jordan Love is a guy that just hasn't seen enough action yet for them to make a decision on. So to Mark Murphy's point, this preseason will matter for him because he'll play a lot. Maybe he looks good and someone wants to trade for him. Maybe he looks good and they're more confident with him as a backup and a potential long-term plan if Rodgers decides to hang it up after this year, which doesn't seem likely. So they need more information on Jordan Love.
Give me the Swagoo crystal ball. Marcus Spears, will there ever be a day where week one of an NFL season, Jordan Love will be the starting quarterback of the Green Bay Packers? Will that day ever come?
I believe so, G. And Mark Murphy alluded to it when he talked about this thing being a year-to-year basis with Aaron Rodgers. Look, they invested in this kid, and all of the things that transpired throughout Aaron Rodgers deciding to come back or leave, I was on television saying Jordan Love and his agent may be in a position to try to seek a trade so they can get out from under all of the things that's happening, because it's potential to stunt his growth as a quarterback. And obviously, he needs more reps. Obviously, we need to see Jordan Love play more to determine if he's a good quarterback. But also, this is a good problem to have. When you have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, the guy that's behind him, based on how Aaron has been playing, shouldn't be playing a lot. But ultimately, when you look at the landscape of the Green Bay Packers going forward, future, they need to find out, or they need to decide, if Jordan Love is going to be a guy that they want to move forward with. Or even in the absence of Aaron Rodgers, whenever he decides to hang it up, based on what they've seen internally, determine if you want to go and try to get another veteran to come in if you feel like this team is still going to be highly competitive when Aaron Rodgers walks out the door.
That's exactly right. And so, quick, Cam, having you here today gives us an opportunity to sort of go back over these things. And many of us have wondered, without Devontae Adams, what are the Packers? In your mind, the departure of their best receiver. What does that leave in Green Bay?
I mean, before Devontae, there was still Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, there's a reason why you paid him. There's a reason why he's a back-to-back MVP. Aaron Rodgers has done everything possible to win in some of these times, and he's won without Devontae.
Yeah.
Not saying that Devontae isn't a top three receiver, top two, call him. I think I'm going to be more impressed about Devontae, how he fares with Derek Carr and Hunter Renfro.
But you think Rodgers will continue to dominate?
Absolutely. Come on, we've seen him win without anybody and everybody, and we've seen him, it feels like, seemingly put the team on his shoulders at times.
I have a few more questions on that we'll get to in a moment. By the way, a reminder, the 26th annual WNBA draft is tonight on ESPN and the ESPN app. The Atlanta Dream have the first pick now after the trade with Washington on Wednesday. Our coverage begins 8 Eastern from New York City. Every April 15th is a special day in baseball, but this year it is the 75th anniversary of Jackie Robinson shattering the color barrier and setting the stage for a momentous change in our society. Robinson was on the front lines of the battle for equality and justice, and when he was in the military, he confronted and challenged racism. Today, an accomplished jazz artist shares a unique perspective on that defining episode in Robinson's life. It's part of our series, Black History Always.
in honor of Jackie Robinson, an American hero, my own personal hero, I have written a suite called Stealing Home with little vignettes addressed to aspects of Jackie or his career. What led me to Stealing Home and that piece there was the rhythmic nature of this guy's name. I kept saying Robinson, Robinson. So I finally got. So this is Robinson, Robinson. And then when I addressed the idea of his period in the military, see, that's when I started to get into Jackie Robinson's head. I said, so this guy, he was drafted into the military. Jackie went to boot camp like everybody else, became a good marksman with the M1, was a good soldier, was a good American. And at that point, they needed some black officers. He becomes a commissioned second lieutenant. Now, he had some bad experiences in the Army, especially as an officer. They're on a military installation, and this local bus driver, not in the military, tells him to go to the back of the bus. But this is probably 10 years before Rosa Parks. In that particular instance, of course, Jackie said, oh, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm a commissioned officer in the United States Army. And this guy tells me, you can't sit here in this part of the bus, go to the back. What? Right? And there's this woman sitting there, a white woman, who said, I'll get off the bus or I'll call the police or whatever. He said, you realize I'm getting ready to go to Germany and fight these Germans for you? What is this? You want me on the back of the bus here, but now when I get over there and we're facing these panzers, this German infantry, where do you want me then? You want me on the back, or you want me in the front? You see, so there's a lot of pain here. And so I decided to address that facet of his life because I think that may have been Jackie Robinson's introduction to what things were going to be like when he got into baseball, except that it was going to go up exponentially.
Lieutenant Jackie is the first cut on the CD that Bobby Bradford and friends recorded in honor of Jackie Robinson's 100th birthday 3 years ago. The CD is titled Stealin' Home. Please join us again tomorrow as we count down to April 15th with another first-hand reflection in our series, Jackie to Me. In the meantime, as we roll on, his team hasn't been healthy since Christmas. Why should we believe Steph and the Warriors can win the West? We'll answer that question next. It's Get Up on ESPN. Back on Get Up, and if you missed the action this weekend, you missed what was essentially a coronation of a new young superstar in golf. He's that man, 25-year-old Scottie Scheffler. This was the moment he'll remember the rest of his life. On the third hole, at a moment where Cam Smith appeared as though he was going to make a run at him, Scheffler chips that one in from off the green and then never looked back. Take a look at this. His approach on 14. He's going to spin this back off the back of the green. You can't do it any better than this. It would set up what would be his third birdie of the day. He would take a 5-stroke lead to 18, and so he was comfortable. That walk up the 18th fairway, as good for him as it could possibly be. That's his high school sweetheart, now his wife Meredith. And after he missed a few putts, he rolls that one in to win it. It's his fourth career win, all of them coming since Super Bowl Sunday. And he receives the jacket that he will own now for the rest of his life from last year's champ Hideki Matsuyama. Congratulations, Scottie Scheffler, who joins Jordan Spieth and Tiger Woods as the only players age 25 or younger to win the Masters over the last 40 years. He's also the fifth world number one to win the Masters since the rankings began in 1986, joining the likes of Tiger and Dustin Johnson. Okay, the NBA regular season is complete. Let's get you ready for the playoffs. Here's what we know. The Bucks are the 3 seed in the East. They will take on the Bulls in round one. Milwaukee looking to be the first Eastern Conference team to win back-to-back titles since LeBron's Heat did it in 2012 and 13. Then there's Boston. The Celtics are the 2 seed, something that felt unlikely a few months ago. They finished the season with 51 wins, best record by a team below 500 at the halfway point, and they will await the winner of the Nets and the Cavs in the play-in tomorrow night. Despite being in the play-in tournament, Brooklyn actually has the 3rd shortest odds to win the championship. The Hawks will host the Hornets in the 9-versus-10 play-in game. The winner of that will face the Nets-Cavs loser for the right to face the top seed Heat in round one. The other finalized playoff pairing in the East is the 4-5 matchup between the Sixers and the Raptors, where Philly will have home court advantage. But that will be nothing compared to the advantage that Toronto will have when the Raptors are home. Let's make it clear. Matisse Thybulle, who's an incredibly important piece of the Sixers puzzle, is not going to be eligible to play in the games in Canada. He's not fully vaccinated. He will not be allowed into the country. So with that thought in mind, Legler, how do you see that series?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I've been in that area, tied to that area for 38 years, Greeny.
To Philly.
Yeah, so it helps me to not pick against the Sixers, because it's just, life is better when you go out in public, when you do that kind of thing. But look, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that they can win the series in 7 games. But I have probably least amount of confidence in that pick than any in the first round. I think they're in trouble. I think there is an enormous amount of pressure on James Harden, and he has never faced the type of scrutiny and media and fan backlash that he will face if he does not play well early in that series against Toronto. Philadelphia is a completely different animal than anything James Harden has dealt with. And he right now is coming in, I think in his last 8 games, he's shooting like 35% from the field. He just doesn't look like the same explosive, dominant scorer. And it's great that he can make plays, and he had a 15-assist game, and that's great. That's not what they need out of James Harden. He's a primary ball handler who's going to determine matters in that series. Look, I know Embiid, what he's going to do. Pencil it in. That guy's going to average 30 and probably 14 in that series. Book it. So where is that going to come from in the important moments? James Harden cannot be like this. He's got to be consistently 20 to 25 points a game in that series. And I just don't see him right now physically as being able to do it. And the only reason I'm not going to say the Raptors are going to win the series, because look, they are a 5 seed. I mean, let's be honest to who they are. This is not some juggernaut. They play Philly tough. This has the makings of the best first-round series of all. Wouldn't be shocked if Toronto won, but I'll pick Philly in 7 games.
All right, we'll see. Again, the 7 is a critical number there, because that would mean there were 3 of them in Canada, and Thybulle would not be eligible to play any of those. So that's the most interesting storyline in the East. Let me show you where the West wound up here. And again, we still have the play-ins to work our way through, but the 2 finalized playoff matchups we have, Warriors-Nuggets, Mavericks-Jazz. The Grizzlies will face the winner of Timberwolves-Clippers, which is the 7-8 game on Tuesday night. The loser of that play-in would face either the Pelicans or the Spurs for the right to face Phoenix. And so let me put it to you this way. Look, the Suns have been the best team in the NBA. Of that, there is no debate. I've got a lot of my countdown crew telling me they think Memphis is the biggest threat to Phoenix in the West. If Steph comes back healthy, they've got Draymond back, if the Warriors are complete, who in your mind is the biggest threat? What are the Warriors with those guys all together?
If Steph Curry comes back and he looks like Steph Curry, and he doesn't go through that normal adjustment period where he's not making shots, he's a little bit rusty, and he's very inefficient. If that's the case, it clearly is Memphis. But if Steph Curry comes back and he looks like Steph Curry, he looks anything like Steph Curry looked at the beginning of this season, I think Golden State is the biggest threat to Phoenix. But we just don't know that until we see him. And I'm not trying to slight Memphis at all. That's just how much I believe in the value of Steph Curry and the fact that the Golden State Warriors are much more about the collective of the sum of their parts than they are about anything individually. They need all of those guys to be out there functioning at a high level the way that they play, and they haven't been on the court at all together. They're 3-star players.
And that's why it's so critical, with no disrespect to any of the other teams that are involved, that they did hang on to that 3.
Yes.
Because it means they wouldn't get Phoenix until the conference final, so they have time to work their way back into it. Look, there was a moment in time this season, like as recently as Christmas, where the Warriors were the best team in the NBA, when they were all healthy and they were all firing. So let me change up the question slightly. If we see them get healthy and sort of get themselves on a little bit of a roll here, Could you make an argument they're actually the team to beat in that Western Conference?
You definitely could make the argument because of their personnel and their pedigree and what they've done in the postseason before. But I don't think that would be fair to Phoenix. What I've seen this year is Phoenix is on a completely different shelf than every other team in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And they also, in addition to the fact that they've been the best team on both ends of the floor, this is also a team that has unfinished business mentality. And that was their approach all season long. And we saw the Milwaukee Bucks have to struggle a couple of times before they finally got that thing across the finish line. Phoenix had to stand there and watch that celebration last year. They've approached the regular season like that all year. Nobody has better role definition than the Phoenix Suns. Those guys stay in their lane and they do it every night. They've been so much better than everybody else in the league start to finish.
Yeah.
I almost feel like it's really unfair to not think they are the prohibitive favorite.
I think that's right. Let me ask you one more quick thing. This is my first year as a voter. Our ballots are due tonight. Who's the MVP of the league?
I'm going with Joel Embiid. I don't think he did enough to lose that award. He had it in his hands, and you got to remember, they went two-thirds of a year losing an all-star caliber player, didn't replace him with anything. His next two best players were a 22-year-old point guard starting for the first time, and Tobias Harris, who's been very up and down throughout his time in Philadelphia. And Joel Embiid has been so dominant night in, night out. I thought he got control of the award sometime around January, February. For a 5-6 week stretch, he was the best player in the league. So at that point, Greedy, what has to happen to lose it? I think either your team has to fall off the map. They didn't. Your production has to fall off the map. It didn't. Or you have to get hurt. None of those things happened. I know what Jokic did. I understand Giannis and even Luka, I think, closed the gap. But I just don't think Joel Embiid did anything to lose the award once he became the favorite.
And he led the league in scoring. Look, it is as close as could be. I think they're the three really viable candidates, Jokic and Embiid, I think, at the top. Stay close by. We'll have much more with you as we go. In the meantime, back to the NFL. Get me Cam Jordan back over here. After being traded from Atlanta to the Colts, Matt Ryan will now enter his first season on any team other than the Falcons. The 36-year-old quarterback enters his 15th NFL season, but there's one exec in the NFL who thinks Ryan's best years are behind him. This is a quote from an unnamed executive. I had him with a big decline last year. Matt has had a phenomenal career, a great quarterback, but it wasn't like he was super big, athletic, or had a super strong arm. I see the skills declining a little bit quicker for him as a result. I think they could be looking at another quarterback in a year, and if they don't win, look out for Irsay. So there's a lot to unpack in all of that. Let's put the will they be looking at another quarterback in a year and the looking out for Irsay part, let's put that separately. Let's deal in the exactly what Matt Ryan still is at this moment of it all. Because, Cam, you know it as well as anybody. You play in the division. You've played against him literally your entire career, including last year. How much does Matt Ryan have left?
A lot. I mean, he's still getting the ball out fast. He's still making these types of throws. But his top receiver was who last year?
Last year? I mean,
they didn't have Julio. They didn't have Calvin Ridley.
Right.
You take two of his.
Russell Gage.
I'll say Russell.
At the tight end, I guess, Kyle Pitts.
Cordarrelle Patterson would probably be his most explosive player.
Yeah.
I think he's a phenomenal player. But, yeah, again, you don't have your two top receivers that you're normally used to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a switch up there. So give me, now he's got T.Y., now he's got Jonathan Taylor. I think this is where you're going to see, him go back to being Matt Ryan.
So you project big things for him this year? You have high expectations for the Colts?
I definitely think so. I mean, in their division, they're competing with the Titans.
Yep.
But it automatically goes from being the bottom of the NFC South to being one of the tops of their division.
What do you think, Marcus? The Ryan in Indy, I haven't had a chance to talk to you about this much. It happened while I was on vacation. How good do you think it's going to be?
Look, man, Matt Ryan, 158 years old, okay? But that's okay in this particular situation that he's in. Look, guys, we had our sample size 2 years ago with Phillip Rivers. This team is really good. It's a team that supports a quarterback with where Matt Ryan is in his career right now. And he's an upgrade over Carson Wentz because Matt Ryan, in moments of tightness, when the game is being played at a very high level, he can deliver. That is the question that Indianapolis couldn't get answered last year. I think he's fine. But I don't want to go to the point where I start talking about Matt Ryan and the MVP conversation or anything like that. But this is one of the most comfortable positions for a veteran quarterback in the NFL to be in. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we talk about the offensive line, and they got to get a left tackle situation figured out. But Jonathan Taylor in the backfield. Pittman is an ascending wide receiver. You expect them to make moves also in this draft and with what they've done. I see this as a great opportunity for Matt Ryan to manage football games and make a few throws throughout this year that we'll talk about on Monday on Get Up about how phenomenal Matt Ryan was, and he'll probably only be thrown for 230 yards and two touchdowns, which is enough with the team that he's going to be on. He's a significant upgrade. He can win, and they can make the playoffs with Matt Ryan.
What do you think, Dan? What is the sense you're getting from people around the league? That's that one unnamed executive.
Right. And you know, Cam put his name on it, so right. I put a little more stock in that. Look, I think the Rivers comparison is legit. I think that's what we look at here. Phillip Rivers went there 2 years ago and did really well, got the team in the playoffs. They were willing to bring him back for another year. He didn't want to come back, so they went with Carson Wentz. Hembo sends text during the show. 2020 Phillip Rivers, 2.52 seconds average time to throw. Fifth fastest in the league that year, and once last year was 2.83, which was bottom half of the league. So if Matt Ryan can do what Phillip Rivers did 2 years ago and play in rhythm in Frank Reich's offense and deliver at that level, then yes, I think he can be. I mean, Swaggoo's right. He does not have to be the MVP of the league.
That's it.
He has to be competent and reliable and not fall apart in the final two games of the season
in the biggest
as Carson Wentz did.
That's exactly right. Not fall apart in the biggest moments, such as where it all got away from them last year. Stay close, guys, because we have more to do. I want to remind everybody, by the way, that tomorrow night we have an NHL doubleheader on ESPN and the app. We have Ovechkin and the Caps hosting the Flyers at 7 Eastern. Then the Lightning are in Dallas to play the Stars. Tampa trying to stay out of the wild card spot in the East. Stars trying to get into a wild card spot in the West. And, of course, by now I'm sure you've seen the tragic news of the weekend, but Steelers quarterback Dwayne Haskins was killed early Saturday morning when he was hit by a truck as he was attempting to cross a highway on foot in South Florida. The accident took place just after 6:30 a.m. on Saturday. To this point, there is no word on why Haskins was walking on what is a limited-access roadway near the Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood Airport. He was drafted 15th overall in 2019 by Washington, went to the Steelers last year. He was in South Florida to work with Steelers running backs and receivers and the new QB there, Mitchell Trubisky. Haskins was just 24, would have turned 25 the first week of May. He survived by his wife, his parents, and his sister. We'll be right back.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Back on Get Up, and over the weekend, there he was, new Denver Bronco Russell Wilson throwing out the first pitch for the Colorado Rockies. You might not know he was drafted by the Rockies in the fourth round of the 2010 baseball draft before ultimately making what proved to be the right decision and sticking with football. He's on his way to the Hall of Fame someday, but he makes this stop now in Denver on that path. And let me ask you this, Cam, because he goes to this loaded division, and it has sort of set off a conversation on this show about just how good Russell Wilson, and no one questions good, but there are levels to this. How good is Russell Wilson?
It's always levels. He's great. I mean, I don't think he's good. He's great. I think there's a reason why, he's had so much success over the years, because it's not like Seattle was ever known for their stout offensive line play. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that the offensive line made the quarterback. The quarterback made the offensive line. It wasn't that, he had good receivers. He up until DK, we wouldn't say he ever had like a top tier guy like that. You got Tyler Lockett there. I think he's a good receiver as well. But he extends those plays. He makes defenses uncomfortable with his feet. He's able to extend those plays. And let's be real, he's just a better quarterback when he's out of the pocket. I mean, we go into a game plan trying to keep him in the pocket. So for him to go to Denver, where they have some offensive line problems, but they have Jerry Jeudy, they have Cortland Sutton. I mean, they've got a lot of talent there. It just hit me. They don't have Noah Fant, which was probably their best guy.
Trade,
he was in the trade.
But they have another young tight end they like.
Right.
Yeah, the long
name. And they've got a great defense.
Right. And
they don't have a great defense?
All right, that's to be debatable. I think the Saints have a great defense, but, right. we'll go.
But you're not the only team with a great defense.
I'm biased. What do you want me to say?
Okay, fair enough. So I've learned something about you quite quickly. You never call any other defense great.
That's fair. Only one defense in the league is great.
Swagu, how about it? How about the Broncos in what might be the most stacked division we've ever seen? What does Russell Wilson make them?
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Yeah, he makes him a contender. I don't think to win the division, but to get into the playoffs. Look, Denver is going to have – they're going to take some lumps figuring this thing out. I'm in agreeance with Cam. Russell Wilson is great. He's a great quarterback. If you look at the totality of his career, he's been the reason why, like we talk about some of these other quarterbacks, Seattle has been relevant. After Beast Mode left, after Marshawn Lynch and the Legion of Boom left, Russell Wilson was carrying this team for years. And I think every player, former player, guys in the media that cover it understand how vital he's been to keeping Seattle relevant. Not just from falling off a cliff, but keeping them relevant. So now you look at this Denver team, which we talked all last year with the perception that Aaron Rodgers could potentially end up there being a quarterback away. This is a good consolation prize to get Russell Wilson in this particular situation, supported by Javonte Williams in the backfield, a nice run game, which he had in Seattle when he first came in, supported by a really good defense, even though they're not the greatest defense. That's the New Orleans Saints. I'm going to say that since Cam on TV today. And then you look at and then like he mentioned with Tim Patrick, Courtland Sutton, and Jerry Jeudy, there's a hard argument that Russell Wilson offensively is playing on the best unit he's ever been a part of since he's been in the league. You can make that argument with this Denver Broncos team when it comes to skill position players. Now, here's the deal, and what everybody's going to talk about and what we're going to talk about and what I can't wait to talk about. This AFC West, bro, this about to be stupid. This gauntlet that whatever team comes out of this division is going to have holes all over their body. They're going to be beat up. They're going to be down in the dirt, and it will be the quarterback that makes the difference. Denver put themselves in the conversation by getting Russell Wilson.
What do you think, Danny?
I'm curious because Cam said you go into the game trying to keep him in the pocket. So what's the reason? Is he not as good in the pocket as other guys are?
I mean, would you rather him extend the play and now you've got DBs out there covering the receivers for 4 seconds? No, you want to make him in the pocket quarterback. You want to make him uncomfortable. You want to collapse the pocket and keep him right there because once he extends those plays, I mean, it's just hard on the back end for you to keep up with that.
Yeah, and so, I mean, calling around, getting opinions on after this happens, what you hear a lot of, like, what makes him special, like a special player, but it's going to get him in the Hall of Fame, is his ability to extend those plays and do things, in the clutch. But, like, he hasn't been a guy that has really ever been asked to sort of sit in the pocket and go through progressions. And there are people that I've talked to, and we've talked about anonymous people talking about Matt Ryan. There are people who would tell you that's not actually his strength. One expression I heard was he's a better football player than a quarterback, right? And think about that. Like, now he gets out there and the play is broken down and he can do something because he has instincts and he has all that. So I'm curious if they are building a pass-centric, let Russ cook kind of offense around him. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure we've seen that over a full season. And I'm not saying he can't do it. I think he probably can. But I think that's a big difference between what he's going to be asked to do in Denver
and
what he did in
Seattle. Is that a fair assessment of him, Cam?
I mean, at this point, you're going to have to prove me different. It's all about, like, what you've done over the totality of his career.
Yeah.
He's been nothing but a baller. So until he's anything different, I can't say anything different as well.
But as my old buddy Mark Schlereth used to say to me, no one ever gets in a huddle and says, okay, guys, broken play on two, go.
Right.
That's not the plan when you go into it, but sometimes it works. Who is the team to beat in that? Swago, who's the team to beat? Right now,
Kansas City.
Who's the team to beat?
Say it.
Los Angeles Chargers. Whoa. And I'm because of the move that they
Cam.
Made.
Go at him.
That makes no sense for me.
Go, Cam. Go. You got me in the meeting.
They've had Keenan Allen, who's one, you know, arguably one of the greater receivers you're going to see in this league. I would put him at top. He's in my top three.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Mike Williams. You've had Justin Herbert, but you've had him for two whole years.
Yeah.
So you're telling me now that they're, all of a sudden they're going to jump from the bottom of their division to the top of their division, and then you're going to go ahead
and Cam usurp
the Kansas City.
Yeah. Go. Go.
Question, Cam. Uh-huh. Cam, how important is Marshawn Lattimore to y'all defense?
Extremely, extremely important. You know,
how important you think J.C. Jackson gonna be to this Chargers defense?
Extremely, extremely.
Who would you say has the best defense in this division?
You'd have to say Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa.
Derwin James. Okay.
Their secondary is crazy. They bring in J.C. Jackson.
Asante Samuel coming back off of it. I will relent to the gentleman that is actually in the league right now, but I vehemently disagree with you. I don't know what Kansas City is going to be defensively. I have no idea. I have no idea, bro. And look, I love them bringing over Reed from Houston, but replacing Tyrann Mathieu is more than football to me. It has a lot to do with how he has this unit and how he's able to galvanize the troops. I will wait and see. I got the Chargers winning the AFC West this year.
So we do have one vehement disagreement that we have working on the program. Who do you have winning the division? Super quick.
Come on, when you're at the top of the hill, like if you're king of the hill, you're swinging down.
And so it is.
It has always been the Kansas City the last 4 years?
4 years they've won the
championship.
Division.
They won the division the last, 4 years?
True.
Championship, division championship game the last 4 years?
Yeah.
Until they're not the king of the hill anymore, you have to prove me different.
Right, I want to come back to this one as we go here, but I'm up against the beginning of the new hour. We'll start that up in a moment. We'll get back to Brady here. Just see this. Brady and Gronk have been the best buddies and the best offensive duo maybe in history. So why is Gronk taking shots now? You need to hear this, and you will next.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.